Luke chapter 10. We live in a day and in a time when there is so much that vies for our attention. And even as we have godly women who are mothers in our congregation, who desire with all of their hearts to live for Jesus and to do the right thing for Christ in their lives, there's always something to do. Always someplace to go. There's always that show that you want to watch on TV. There's always children to care for, husbands to pick up after, jobs to do. There's always something. And it seems as though the days are no longer really 24 hours. I think they've been shortened to about 18. It seems that there's never enough time to do everything that you want to do. Unfortunately, the first thing that usually gets squeezed out is our time with Jesus, our time with God. And it is that time, it is that time with Jesus that is really the only thing in our daily schedule that will last into eternity. And yet it is the first thing that we seem to squeeze out in our busy lives. It is the most important thing, and yet unfortunately it becomes less of a priority than God demands. That time with Jesus is the only thing that is really necessary in all that we do. So take your Bibles and turn with me to that passage in Luke chapter 10 and look down as we'll spend a few moments today putting some of these things into perspective. Read with me, please, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who, moreover, was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus had come into this town. Jesus had come into this village. Here is the very Son of God. The miracles that He has done. The mighty deeds that He has done to show the world that He was indeed the very Son of God. And this was late in His ministry. So He would have been well known. And so people stood in His presence. Now, what is the town that He comes to? We read here that He comes to the home of Martha and Mary. Well, look at John chapter 11. John's Gospel in chapter 11. A certain man, verse 1, was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And that's where Jesus traveled over, or back again, when He raised Lazarus from the dead. It was this city of, or this village of Bethany, which was about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem, kind of up on a hill. It was a peaceful village, a beautiful village. It had gardens. It had palm trees. It was a very peaceful setting, and surely again, one where our Lord Jesus would have liked to come into the company of His friends, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Now, we'll go back to that text in John, so you might want to put a marker there, but go back to Luke chapter 10, and we see that He stops here at this home. Now, there's a couple of things that we learn automatically from the fact that He went to this home of Martha here in our text. The fact that she could accommodate Jesus and those that were traveling with Him is indicative of her wealth. It indicates that she was a person of means. God had obviously blessed her as one who could be wealthy enough to provide for Jesus and this entourage that was with him. Now, it is also attested to, this fact of their wealth is also attested to, again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, by the amount of people that came out for Lazarus's funeral. When you just know that from your reading, that there were so many people there comforting Martha and Mary on the death of their brother, it indicates that they were central figures in this town and obviously wealthy because of the amount of people that were there. But now read here in verse 38 that Jesus is first welcomed by Martha. It is Martha who is the one that goes out to see him. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She's the one who first greeted our Lord. She comes out to meet Jesus. This suggests that Martha had a kind of outgoing personality. She seems like a bold person. And in fact, as I read about Martha in various places, she reminds me a little bit of the Apostle Peter. You know how Peter would just say stuff and he was kind of impetuous and he'd just do stuff. He's the first one to do something. Martha had that kind of personality. In fact, turn back to John chapter 11 and see that when Jesus came to Bethany, because Lazarus had died, we read in verse 20, Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. Again, it was Martha who immediately runs out and meets Jesus and then engages in this discourse with our Lord. In verse 21, she said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see, she has that kind of personality that's outgoing, and she says what's on her mind. You know, there's nothing wrong about saying what's on your mind to God. Sometimes we think we can hide stuff from God in our prayers. Or like Jesus came to Bethany, and as the omniscient God, he didn't know that Martha was upset about the death of her brother. God knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. And so it's not wrong to express yourself to God, to say to God, here's what I'm feeling today. Martha had that kind of personality where she boldly went out and said what was on her mind. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would still be alive. And then back in our text, she says to Jesus, she says to our Lord, welcome into my home. She's the one who has that outgoing personality. Something else that it suggests is that Martha, again, was well known in the fact that Jesus came right to her home, because we go on to read that she was not only the first one to greet him, she was the one who owned the home. She was the one whose home they were visiting, because it says, welcomed him into her home. This was a wealthy woman who owned the home where they were going. She was one of those, like we read about in Proverbs 31. A godly woman who was obviously blessed by God and successful. One that did the right thing and one that was energetic. She was no doubt, as you can tell just from reading the text, hospitable, a natural homemaker. Now, some of you are like Martha. Some of you here today are like Martha. You are women who are to be commended. You're successful in your work and what you do. God has blessed you in the things that you put your hand to. You help your families. through the work that you do. God has blessed you and God has made you like Martha, a woman who had intelligence, a woman who had ability, a woman who had gifts and used them for the glory of God. You're like that. God blessed her and she used it for the glory of God. She gave back to God as she ministered to and helped Jesus. And that's the next thing we see. One of the important reasons that she was a godly woman and a successful woman was that she was the one who supported His ministry. She took all of these disciples in. She fed them. She obviously even housed them from time to time. She gave back from the wealth that God had blessed her with for the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Look down to verse 55. Now, of course, this is regarding the death of Jesus. Jesus has been crucified on the cross. We read in verse 55, "And many women were there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to Him." Now look back to the Gospel of Luke, but this time look to Luke chapter 8. I want to put these verses together. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. "And it came about soon afterward that He began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with Him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness, Mary who is called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means." He's naming women who were contributing to the efforts of the spread of the gospel when it was first happening with Jesus doing the spreading. You know, we read about that incident where Peter comes to Jesus and says, "Is it right to pay the tax?" And what does Jesus tell Peter to do? "Go out and catch a fish and you'll find the right amount of money to pay the tax in the fish's mouth." And he did. But He didn't always do that. He didn't always send Peter down to pull up a fish with coins in its mouth. And He didn't always take a loaf of bread and as Creator God distribute it among the disciples every night. We read in the Scriptures that people were supporting the gospel ministry, the outreach of the gospel. And we read that their names were women, from their own means, giving to the gospel. This is what Martha was doing. Martha was one of these women. Martha was one who gave to the spread of the gospel from her own means. She was one who stood in the very presence of the Son of God, opened her home to Him, and helped Him. Some of you ladies here today know exactly where I'm going with this. I've mentioned that you are blessed of God, that you have intelligence and gifts, and God has blessed you. But have you ever stopped to realize that He may well have blessed you in these ways, particularly to help in the support of the gospel in North Tampa Bay? And you are to be again commended for the sacrificial giving that you do. He has given you insight. He has given you gifts and He's given you help. And He's blessed you in these ways. And you generously support the gospel. Now, let me just mention that this is something that really goes well with women. If you think about it, what we read about in Proverbs 31, where the woman sees a need, and she takes care of it, and she does what is necessary to provide for her family and those things. God gives women a particular insight and an understanding of what is needed. You know, as a mother, you know your family's needs and you make sure that those needs are met. And that instinct carries over into the church as well. And there are things that you ladies do in this church that I don't even think about. Men don't always think about some of these things that God gives these insights to women. And you're to be commended for that. It is the way that you express your gift. So don't think for a moment that your work, that your help, and all you do goes unnoticed by God. And it does not go unnoticed by me either. And I humbly and sincerely thank you. Now look back at our text in Luke chapter 10 and look down to verse 41. As we see, not only was she one who cared for and provided for Jesus, but she was also one who, unfortunately, was distracted by all her preparations. We read in verse 40 that Martha was distracted by all her preparations. And in verse 41, Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." She's distracted, she's worried, and she's bothered. This was one who had all of these gifts, used all of these gifts, ministered to God, ministered to the family, ministered to the community, but she missed something here. I want to do this, though, before we go on. Before we go on to actually understand about her distraction with this preparation and stuff that she was doing, I want to make sure that we understand who Martha is and who we're talking about, because I believe that a lot of people today would relegate Martha to some kind of heathen or pagan. Mary was the good one. Martha was the bad one. And I want you to understand, Martha was not a bad person. In fact, Martha was a believer. Look back to John 11. Martha was one of the first Christians in the entire world and one of the very first to announce her belief that Jesus was the Messiah. Back in this dialogue that we were reading about Martha in John chapter 11, Martha in verse 21 says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, well, before I even go on to that, what a tremendous statement Martha made. "Lord, I believe whatever you ask of God, God will give you. I believe that." And so Jesus then says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And still what insight Martha brings out as she says to Jesus in verse 24, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But then Jesus, and this, again, don't miss this. Don't miss the fact that this is one of the most profound and tremendous verses in all of the New Testament, in all of the Bible, so often quoted. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, he lives." Who did Jesus say that to? Martha. "I am the resurrection. I am the life. Even if you die, you'll live. You believe in me, you'll live even if you die." He said that to Martha. This profound, great verse that is so often quoted. And then we finish this out. He says in verse 26, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And he asks this question, "Do you believe?" Who do you ask the question, "Do you believe?" to? Martha. He asks the question really to all of you, to all of us. Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and life? And if you believe in me, you will live even if you die. Do you believe it? Now you can answer whatever you want, but here's what Martha answered. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even He who comes into the world. That's even more direct and more profound than what Peter said at Caesarea Philippi, but very similar. You see, they have sort of the same personalities. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God who has come into the world. That's Martha, folks. So when we go back to Luke chapter 10, don't think of Martha as some kind of heathen or pagan. You know who Martha is? Martha's like you or me. We all tend to get distracted from time to time with things, with preparation. It's not that she didn't love Jesus. It's not that she didn't love Jesus' teaching. She was distracted. Now the word distracted here is the word perispao. And what it means in the Greek is to be drawn away by preoccupation. Her preoccupation with these things drew her away. They sort of took over and took her away from the things of God. Well, she had lots to do. Someone had to get dinner ready for about 15 people. When you count Jesus, His disciples, Lazarus, and Mary. I mean, there were about 15 people there. Somebody had to get the dinner ready. Now, she obviously had a staff. She had servants. But she had to oversee and help and work with them to get this stuff ready for these people. And her sister wasn't helping. And so she explodes. Wouldn't you? She says to Jesus in verse 40, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone?" She was distracted. She was drawn away by preoccupation. And her preoccupation with things caused her to kind of vent and explode. And as we'll see in a few moments, that's what the language that Jesus used when He described what was going on with her. Now, again, this is something that does happen to even the best of us. I mean, some of you have maybe had this happen already many times in your life. When, you know, you got a whole house full of people coming over, and I'm the only one that does anything. Nobody else helps me around here. Where are my boys? And then you say stuff like, "It isn't fair. I do all the work. Lord, can I get some help?" Which is what she's saying. "Lord, tell Mary to get back in here and help me." And so what does she do as she says this to our Lord? "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Now, where was Mary? Where was her sister? Verse 39, listening to the Lord's words, seated at her feet. Martha's about doing all this work. She comes rushing out and says, "Lord, I got all this stuff to do. And it's Mary's not helping me." So what does she do? She blames Mary for not helping. But what was Mary doing? Sitting at the Lord's feet, listening. So what was she really doing? She was blaming God. She was blaming Jesus. "Don't you care that she's not helping me?" So she was really distracted, preoccupied by these things. Now, folks, she was a believer. But she let the moment, the situation, overtake her. And as you see in the text, and as we'll look a little bit further, she was blinded to what was the most important thing. It's not that the things that she was doing weren't important, but they weren't the Son of God. They weren't a relationship to Him. And so that leads us to Jesus' response. We are to stand in His presence, but we are to sit at His feet and learn from Him. That's what Mary was doing. It tells us literally Mary was listening to our Lord seated at His feet. You have the Son of God in your home. Who cares about dinner. And yet, unfortunately, when we preach about the Son of God in church, most of the congregation is more concerned about dinner. When can we get out of here and go eat? The Son of God was there. Martha was more caught up in dinner. Mary was seated at His feet, listening to Him teach. And so that brings Jesus' gentle response to Martha. He says to her, "Martha, Martha." Hear the gentleness, the sweetness of our Lord. This is one of His children. "Martha, Martha." Yet now hear the bluntness. "You are worried and bothered about so many things." The sweetness of our God. The loving graciousness of our God. But yet the blunt reality of His Word and what we are supposed to do. Now He says to her, first, "You are worried." And the word is marimoneo. And it means to be anxious, troubled with cares. Troubled and taken over with cares. And I want you to look at this word for a moment and understand how it applies even in some things. Just look over to chapter 12 as we see Jesus teaching this as a problem that many people have. Luke chapter 12, look down to verse 11. "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not become anxious about how or what you should speak in your defense or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit shall teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Here He's talking about those who will be arrested for preaching the gospel. And He says, don't be anxious. That's the same word. That is the same word, marimoneo. Anxious about these things. And still in chapter 12, look over to verse 22. "And He said to His disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for the body as to what you shall put on.'" And now we'll just skip down right now to verse 25. "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters?" Remember what He says in Matthew's gospel where He uses the same language? Where He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." Don't be anxious about what you will wear. Don't be anxious about what you will put on. Seek first the kingdom of God. But it's something that we tend to always fall into. We always seem to get anxious about what we're going to do at work tomorrow. We seem to get anxious about whether we're going to make it to our destination on time. We get anxious about whether God is going to bless us with fruit for our labors. We get anxious and we get caught up in these things. We get distracted. And Jesus says, "Keep your eyes on Me. Keep your eyes on Me." Back in our text, He says that not only was she worried, but He uses the word bothered, which is the Greek word thraubeo, which means troubled of mind. And that means that it leads to disturbance and distress and outburst. And that's what she did. And so He says, you are worried and you are bothered about these things, distressed or troubled, disturbed. But really, Martha, you don't need to be distressed or troubled or worried or bothered. What you need is what Mary is doing. You need to sit at My feet. One of the problems that Martha had was a problem that a lot of people also have today, and that is balancing a schedule. balancing a schedule. And then the reality is that Martha should actually have already had this stuff done. And here's why I say that. Look back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, just back one page and down to verse 52. Well, we'll back up to 51. And it came about that when the days were approaching for his ascension, that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him, and so on. And they did not receive him, but they went on. But he sent messengers out ahead. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. He sent messengers to let the people know he was coming. Martha knew Jesus was on his way. And a lot of the preparations should have already been accomplished, already been done. Now, again, this is not to say that she sinfully or wickedly neglected them or put them off. And I'm not even saying that she was a bad manager of her time. But for whatever reason, these things weren't done. And so she couldn't do what was the most important thing, sit at the feet of Jesus and worship. And so what we could say is her work distracted her from her worship. And the problem is that it happens all the time today. We have people that are more concerned about whether their job will be there tomorrow, or whether they will get fired, or whether they will get done what needs to be done on Monday, because we got to have it done before Monday. So let's, instead of going to church, do this work to make sure that it gets done. Well, it's the only time we could do it is on Sunday. What's the most important thing? The work or the worship? It is amazing how little things keep people from worship and hearing the Word of God. What's one of the big ones down here in Florida? Well, I got company coming. And the company comes. And rather than being a testimony to the people that are visiting and saying, I worship the living God and I can't miss worship, that's the most important thing in my life, I can't go to church because I got company. Do you see the discrepancy? What a testimony it would be to say, I've got to go to church and worship Jesus. But instead we say, I can't go to church because you're here. Who becomes more important? Little things take over and distract from worship. I can remember years ago in a church that I attended that the people were taught and encouraged to prepare Saturday night their hearts to worship God Sunday morning. That Saturday night they were in prayer for the things of God and for the service of worship the next day. I encourage that. I find myself constantly preparing Saturday night for the worship on Sunday morning. So I can't affect the way you do things. And in days past, we would meet together as the leaders of this church Saturday night, right in the church, and pray for the worship service the next day. I ask you to do that. Prepare your heart and pray for the church. Pray for the worship of God the next day, the night before. That way, there will be nothing that will keep you from worship. I'm preparing for this. I'm ready. People get ready to go on a trip to who knows where, but they don't get ready to go to worship to meet the living God. And that's all I'm asking. As you get ready for work the next day, get ready for worship the next day. And so Jesus tells her, Martha, you've missed the priority. You're anxious and you're upset about things that don't have lasting value. Now, I said this before, but it's true. Legitimate things, work, life are important. But believe it or not, that money that you make will be burned up in the last day. It won't go to eternity with you. That time clock, if you have a time clock, it'll be burned up too. And I'm sure you'll be glad about that. But we can't seem to understand that part. We think, well, you know, I've got to go to work because if I don't go to work, I will make the money and I'll get fired or whatever. That may be true. But even in the midst of that, understand that that which is of the greatest importance, as Jesus says, only a few things are necessary, really only one. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is what is important, and this is what is paramount, and this is what is really necessary. Why? Because it shall not be taken away. That's what he says at the end of verse 42. Everything else will be taken away. But Mary is seated at my feet, learning from me the truth, and that is eternal, and it shall never be taken away from her. Never. These are the things that Jesus spoke about in other portions of His Scripture, other portions of His ministry, such as Matthew chapter 6, where He does say, seek first the kingdom of God. These other things shall be added to you. Legitimate things may be important, Martha, but sitting at my feet is the priority. Listening to my word is of eternal value. Preparing meals to eat is good. But what you need is everlasting food. Everlasting food. Now I want to take this illustration and this and bring it again to what our Lord says in the Gospel of John, but this time John chapter 6. So look over to John chapter 6 and see how our Lord brings this out in this chapter for our edification. In John chapter 6, in the first 14 verses or so, Jesus is feeding the multitudes. There are people that have come there. He was performing miracles, and there were people that were there. And Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, this is verse 5, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. And Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. And you know that he, as Creator God, creates out of this bread more and feeds all of the multitudes. That's the point. He fed 5,000 plus women and children right here. Fed them. Get it? Food. What was Martha doing? Preparing food. Getting food ready for the Creator God who can create food. But that's what she was doing. She was getting food ready. And here Jesus fed these people. Now, Jesus leaves, goes over the sea. Verse 22, the next day the multitude that stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other small boat there except one, and Jesus had not entered with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. And there came another small boat from Tiberias near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the multitude therefore saw Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Remember, Jesus walked on the water and went over with him. And they were looking for him. Rabbi, when did you get here? But listen to what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You hear what he's saying? All you want is some more free bread. All you want is some more food. You don't care that I'm the very Son of God incarnate and has come among men. You don't care that God is here among you and you don't want to learn it from God. All you want is some food. You know what? We got a lot of people that go to church just like that. They don't care that you're talking about eternal truths from the Word of God. All they want is to be made to feel good, to be entertained, to get a meal now and then, to be happy in social fellowship. You're not seeking me as the very Son of God. You just want something. People will not go to church unless they get something out of it. Verse 27. Do not work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on Him the Father, even God, has set His seal. They said therefore to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Believe in Him whom He has sent. That's eternal food. That's what we need. We need more believers believing that He is the Son of God, not looking for what they can get. But He even secures this a little bit more in this text as you look over to verse 32. Backing up in verse 31, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. He said therefore to Him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. Oh, come to the bread of life. Don't come to get bread, but come to the bread of life. Don't be distracted by preparations of food. Take and eat of the very Son of God as you embrace Him as your Savior for all eternity. Jesus is the eternal bread of life. And those of us who have taken of Him and have eaten Him, even as He described in that same chapter, shortly after that, and they all left and went away and said it was too hard, who can accept this teaching? Oh, I implore you, don't say it's too hard. Come and eat of the very Son of God in a spiritual way. Know Him as God in your life. Don't just look to be fed and filled your bellies, but fill your soul with Jesus. And so back in our text, Jesus says to Martha that Mary made the proper choice. We see Mary in verse 39 seated at the Lord's feet, listening to Him teach. That's how you grow. That's how you learn, by sitting at the feet of our Lord and listening, learning the Scriptures, learning the Word, learning the truths from God to govern and guide you in your life. Now I want you to look at something that Martha says in verse 40. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? The implication is that Mary was probably there in the beginning, helping her out. But when Jesus came, Mary stopped and sat at the feet of Jesus. There is a time to work, But there's a time to worship. And what Jesus said is, Mary has made the wise choice. Mary took advantage of being in the very presence of God. You need to do that. We need to do that. Why do so many allow the cares of the world to be of more value than God? You know, in some ways, one of the biggest plagues in modern churches is they're so busy doing stuff that they don't sit at the feet of Jesus and worship. We got to do this. We got to do it. We got to work this. We got to do this work in order to get people in. We got to do this work in order to see the church grow. We got to do this work in order to make our budget. We got to do stuff. We got to do stuff. We got to do stuff. And they're so caught up in doing stuff. And so few people are sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from Him. Learning from the teaching of His Word. I pray that God will send some people to Grace Church that will want to worship God. Not to tell us what we ought to do or how we ought to do it or what we should be doing, but people that come because they want to worship. To sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him as He is expounded in the Scriptures or from the Scriptures week in and week out. Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary, really only one. Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Moms, I know you work hard. Ladies, I know you do a lot of work, and even you gentlemen. You work hard. You do things, legitimate things. God has blessed you. But remember that which is the most important thing, that which is necessary, is to worship God. Stand in His presence. Sit at His feet. Kneel at His cross. Be a follower, a worshiper of Jesus. That is eternal. Let's pray.